tonight, turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, if you have your Bible. Daniel chapter 6. And we just finished up on a series on prayer. And I enjoyed that. I always enjoy teaching on prayer. And that brought to my mind some people, some characters in the Bible, which one of their greatest traits was prayer. And of course, you would agree with me, Daniel was one of them, that one of his greatest traits was prayer. He was a man of prayer. And so the book of Daniel is written about he and the children of Israel when they were taken into captivity. And he lived through two kings. And both were very impressed by God on him. And also the other, the Hebrew boys that came with him. And so I got to looking at this story about Daniel today, and I got to thinking about his prayer and what he was other than just praying. He was other things too. But in Daniel chapter 6, just to start off, I want you to look at Daniel chapter 6. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Now you know the story. Daniel had risen to prominence in there in the nation, and he'd proven himself by interpreting dreams. And now he's the Bible calls him one of the presidents, which we would call him more like a prime minister. But now he's in a position of authority and power, and unbelievers are very jealous of who he is. Because he's not one of them. He doesn't travel in their circles. He doesn't drink their drink. He doesn't eat their food. He doesn't look like them. He doesn't act like them. He is completely separate from these other people, other than the other three Hebrew boys. Now, so they make a plan. If you go back and read, they make a plan to destroy him. Well, it kind of sounds like politics today, doesn't it? So they make a plan to destroy him. But they can't find anything wrong with him. They can't find any sin in him. They can't find any bad habits or crooked deeds. So they go to the king, and they recommend that if anybody prays in any other name other than the king, if they pray to any other god than the king, they've made him god, then that person is to be put to death. So you get to chapter 6, and it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So therefore, that's where jealousy came in. That's where envy came in. This guy's a foreigner. He's an Israelite. He doesn't even worship the same gods they worship. And he doesn't play the games they play politically. So the king preferred him above all them. So they made that plan, and they talked the king into it and said, now, king, you make it a law, if they pray to anybody other than you, you're going to kill them. You're going to kill them. It's the death penalty. And then they knew what he was going to do. They knew what he was going to do, because he was a man of great wisdom. He didn't care what they thought. He knew what God thought. So that's wisdom. You can learn everything in the world and still be without wisdom, but he had wisdom and learning. So in spite of what they thought would happen to him, he knew what God would do. if he obeyed God. So he had great wisdom. And so in his wisdom, after the decree was made, and he went straight to his room, just like he always did. He opened the windows toward Jerusalem. He had him a little altar there. He got down on his knees, and he prayed to the God of heaven, the God of the Jews, we know him as Jehovah, and prayed to him like he always had. He did not change anything. He didn't hide anything. He didn't try to compromise anything. He didn't say, well, I'll pray, I just won't open my windows. He didn't say, well, I'll pray, I just won't pray so loud. By the way, he prayed out loud. I know what I'll do. I'll pray and I'll do it in the King's name, but then at the end I'll say, in Jesus' name. You know, like to do it the political things, you know. And but he was a man of great wisdom. He knew to obey God is better than to obey man.
Amen.
You got me? So we know he wasn't just a great praying man. He was also a great man of wisdom. Now, if he hadn't have done that, you know as well as I do, God would have took his hand off of him and God wouldn't have blessed him. God put him in the position he was in. In spite of his faith, in spite of it being against everything the Babylonians believed, he worked himself up, God worked him up to a position of high authority just below the king, and he knew God did that. Now, it's wise to obey God. When it comes down to man and God says one thing and man says something else, you're a wise person to obey God. You said, they'll kill me. Well, I don't know if God will let them do that or not. He may not, but even if he does, you'd still be better off to obey God than to obey man. Christians compromise. Christians back up, give up, apologize, and all this stuff, knowing that what they're apologizing for is what God said. See? Now, if you're going to worry about what people think of you, if you're going to worry about what the world thinks of you, if you're going to worry about getting ahead in this world, then you're not a very wise person. You better be more concerned about what God thinks of you.
Come on, man.
Amen. I'd rather dig ditches and obey God and die a pauper than I would obey man and let God take all my rewards when I get to heaven.
Amen.
Rewards on the other side are everlasting. And Daniel knew that. He was wise, see. Then I thought about this. His windows were open, it says. He opened his windows. Now, to me, that says a man, he was also a man of great faith. You know what he was saying? They said they'd kill me, but I'm opening these windows. I open my windows toward Jerusalem every day and pray to the one only Most High God. I'm not quitting now. That's great faith, see. It doesn't take any faith to quit. It doesn't take faith to compromise. But it takes great faith to obey God in the face of adversity. When everything looks like it's going to go against you and you obey God anyway, that takes great faith. And then in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, he kneeled upon his knees. Now, you probably didn't think anything about that when you read that. But here is a president. Here is a man that is second in command in the most mighty nation of its time. And he got on his knees. And he prayed. That tells me he was a man of humility. He was a man of humility. You see, the hypocrite, like Jesus said, the hypocrite likes to stand on the street corner and shout out these big, long prayers. Repetition. Watch out. Our Father who art in heaven can be a repetition if you don't watch out. And he said, so they can be seen of men. But here's a man that gets in his closet and he gets on his knees to be seen of God, and he realizes he has to humble himself to be before a holy God. You know the story. Jesus said two men went to the temple to pray. And one man said, this very religious man said, I want to thank you. I'm not like this guy behind me, this publican, this sinner. I'm not like him. I tithe, I do this, I do that. And I just want to thank you. I'm not like him. He turned around and walked off. And the poor sinner says he wouldn't even so much as lift his head. And he smote his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now that's humility. Jesus said, which one do you think went home justified? The one who was humble. Amen? I don't care what your lot in life is. This man doesn't reach the top. I don't care what your lot in life is. Without humility, you're no better than a stinking heathen. Amen. Pride and arrogance are not Christian traits. They're traits of a lost and dying world. Amen. So, I saw that he was humble and he had great faith and he had great wisdom. Now I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 10. I'm talking about Daniel. We studied prayer, and here's a good example of a man who prayed. What kind of people pray? Well, I think people pray that have great wisdom. I think people pray who have great faith. I think people pray who have great humility. Don't you? I've heard people say, well, I don't need God. Well, you might think you don't, and it may look that way right now, but you're a fool. You're a fool. The day's coming. You'll wish you knew God. Amen. You'll humble yourself then, and you may be like Judas. Judas went out and repented, and God did not accept his repentance. Great faith, great humility. Now look at Daniel chapter 10. Look at verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now Daniel's saying, I had such a burden, I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink, I couldn't take a bath. For 3 weeks, I sought God. I ignored myself and I sought God. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. Now skip over for the sake of time. You'll read it all, but skip over for the sake of time, verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Stop right there. How many people in the Bible does he say? A man greatly beloved. He's talking about God loves you. Greatly. Now God loves all of us, but believe it or not, God loves some people in different ways than he does other people because of obedience and humility and faith. Y'all still with me? Understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee and stand upright. The words I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken his word unto me, I stood trembling. And by the way, you will too. When you get a glimpse of the Lord, you feel his power in your presence, you won't be clapping hands dancing. No, sir. You'll be weeping and crying and trembling. You'll probably be prostrate on the floor, face to the ground. Amen? This modern stuff is not in the Bible. Amen? That's how they worship Belshazzar's statue. That's not how they worship the Lord. Amen? And hey, if he ever gets in your presence and you in his presence, you'll feel like the sorriest, dirtiest thing that ever lived. You'll fall down on your face and say, I'm an unclean man of unclean lips, like Isaiah did. He said, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. I am come for thy words. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 20 days. He's talking about Satan. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael the archangel, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now, Daniel, I think Daniel was a man of great persistence. I think he persisted. He didn't give up. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He got no answer. He prayed. He felt no presence of the Lord. He prayed. He didn't have a scripture to back him up. He prayed. He didn't have a Bible like we do. And he prayed. He didn't have a vision, but he prayed. Nobody encouraged him, but he kept on praying. And he didn't see anything happening, but he kept on praying. And then finally the angel of the Lord shows up and says, we heard you when you first started. Your answer is yes. But the devil didn't want you to know that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we can't just go, Lord, now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. That ain't praying. Praying is sometimes agonizing. And praying is sometimes doing it without any evidence of anything even happening. And yet, according to this, God hears our prayers immediately. Now, he may tend to say, wait a while. He may say no. He may say yes. But he hears our prayers. You don't have to go to the Pope and kiss his ring or his big toe. Amen. Thank God. Amen. You don't have to go down there to that priest that's wearing that frock. That's what we used to call them. Mama called them frocks. Amen. You ain't got to go down there to that man and give him $20 and go in a little booth and tell him your sins and get him to tell you what to do. You do what the Word of God says. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you'll receive. Knock, it'll be opened unto you. Amen. Now, so Daniel prayed and nothing happened. So he prayed and nothing happened. He didn't eat and he prayed and nothing happened. He didn't eat and he prayed and nothing happened. He didn't drink and he prayed and nothing happened. He didn't drink and he prayed and nothing happened. He didn't take a bath and nothing happened. He didn't take time to do anything other than pray. That's all he did. And he kept on praying. Now, I can imagine those other people around there walking around his house. Remember, he has a window open. I think they heard him. I can hear him in there. Hey, I can hear him in there now crying out to God. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Abraham and Isaac? Where is the God of Jacob? Where is the creator of the universe? I can hear him in there praying now. Now, some of y'all never been to an old-fashioned Baptist camp meeting. We got to get you to one. It's going to scare some of you. But there's some praying people go to those things, man. Woo! First time I ever went to one, it was up in Indian Trail, North Carolina. They used to have one up there every year. And whenever Billy Burgess's daddy took me. And we went in, it was an old tabernacle, had a roof, no sides in it. And it had sawdust trail down the hill, you know, in a big platform. And Estes Perkle was preaching. Some of you never even heard of that. Estes Perkle, that was a great old man of God. How many of you ever saw that old movie, The Burning Hell? Nobody? Oh, my goodness, a bunch of preachers made it about a man going to hell. But Estes Perkle was the main one. And Estes Perkle that night was going to preach. So we go in there and we sit down on these old wore-out benches, you know. And somebody says, prayer time! And the men go out this way, and the women go out that way. And I follow the men, you know, and I haven't been saved long. I was saved in Southern Baptist Church. When they prayed, you know, it's kind of calm, you know. And I followed them out there, and they got in this big, giant circle. I mean, a giant, big old hundreds of men got in that circle. And one of them said, we're going to call on brother so-and-so to pray. And so he called on that man, and he started. Our Heavenly Father, and every man out there started praying out loud. I was scared to death. Chills went up and down my spine. I was 24 years old. I had never seen nothing like that in my life. Chills, the hair was standing up on my arms. I wasn't praying. I was listening, man. And men out there just weeping and crying and hollering. And I kind of looked around. You know, there's two or three out there walking around like this right here while they was praying. They was walking around. And I thought, Lord, you're not the author of confusion. This confuses me. And I felt the Spirit say, don't confuse me. I hear everybody's prayers. Yes. And boy, they prayed for about 15 minutes. And then we went back in. Ladies was coming back in, you know. But let me tell you something. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
I don't think Daniel does. Hey, I think Daniel opened those windows and he prayed out loud.
Yes.
And all those days he didn't eat, he didn't sleep, he didn't even take time to take a bath. I think his neighbors and those hypocrites and those politicians and crooks could hear him up and down that street hollering out to God, praying out loud. I bet they thought, oh, Daniel's finally done it. He's lost his mind. He's gone religious crazy. The man's been praying now for days and days and days. And I go to eat and I come back, he's still praying. I go to bed, I get up, he's still praying. I go take a bath, I come out, he's still praying. And then finally the Lord shows up and says, we heard you from the beginning, Daniel. But he didn't give up. He was persistent.
Amen.
I've heard people tell me, well, I prayed about it, didn't nothing happen. I said, something did happen. You just didn't wait around long enough to see it. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you got loved ones you've been praying for years and years and years and years and years. And we go to bed at night. We lay on our pillar and we pray for them while we're laying there in the bed. And we get up in the morning. We say the prayers in our morning prayers. We pray for them. And it goes on for years and years. And then in the middle of the day, when you're by yourself, they come to your mind and you pray for them. And it goes on and on and on and on. And the old devil, hey, he's fighting to answer that prayer right now. God's already got a plan. He's already working it. But the old devil doesn't want you to know it. He wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. Well, I want you to know Daniel was great in wisdom. He was great in faith. And he was great in humility. But I think his greatest trait was he was great in persistence. He did not give up. He didn't back up. He didn't throw in the towel. He kept on praying. He kept on trusting God. He kept on going. Amen?
Amen.
He was persistent. When everybody else was bowing down to that statue, not him, buddy. When everybody else was praying to that false God, not him, buddy. He kept right on going. He didn't care if he lost all his friends. He didn't care if his family thought he'd gone crazy. He didn't care if he lost his position of authority in the government. He didn't care if he lost that nice house, which I'm sure the government gave him for being in that position. He just kept on praying. He kept on believing. He kept on being wise. He kept the faith, and he stayed humbled about it. And guess what? God honored Daniel. Now, look at chapter 6 again. Look at verse 4 of chapter 6, verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found David praying and making supplication before his God. Now, he didn't just have faith, he had faithfulness. He had faithfulness. Now, it didn't matter who it was. When it was time to pray, you'd find Daniel praying. Well, preacher, I would. I just don't have time. No, you're just not faithful. Well, I used to, but my schedule got messed up. No, you're just not faithful. You see, nobody's going to set the priorities for your faithfulness but you. I set mine, you set yours. I can't make you live by mine. I certainly can't live by yours. So So therefore, we are faithful as Daniel was. They would find him praying. They would find him doing what he was supposed to do. But I want you, did you notice also, for as much as he was faithful because of that, neither was there any error or fault found in him. That doesn't mean he's perfect. No. It doesn't say he was sinless, but he didn't live in error. He didn't live in fault. He lived right. When's the last time you heard somebody say that? I'm living right. I remember working in the cotton mill. I had no clue what they was talking about. I'd say, man, you want to go with us after work? You want to do that? Or have you heard that joke? No, I'm trying to live right. You don't hear that anymore. Now everybody makes excuses for not living right. Well, you know, we can't help it. We're just sinners. You know, we're all sinners. Oh, shut up. We're saints saved by the grace of God. Sinners who are saints. Amen. And look, we can be faithful. We can be. We don't have to be like that. We are. We fail God. But see, these men knew that there were some lines that Daniel would not cross. He had drawn some lines in the sand, and he said, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I'm not coming over there. If you want to have anything to do with me, you're going to have to come over here. I'm not crossing this line. My mama taught me better than that. Amen? I remember growing up, we didn't go to church, wasn't Christians. Mama got saved when we were teenagers, and she couldn't get us to do anything then. But I remember over the years, there were some things as I grew, and I hung around with some bad people. I tell people in Lancaster, I told somebody the other day, they said, surely you knew some good people in Lancaster. I said, no, ma'am, no. Everybody I knew in Lancaster came under 3 L's. They were in jail, out on bail, already in hell. I didn't know any good people in Lancaster. But Mama had put some things in me that I would not cross some lines. I didn't cross some. Everybody I knew got hooked on drugs. I didn't. You know why? I knew if I crossed that line, it would kill me because everything I did to the extreme. And I knew if I took one drop of acid, I'd be an acid head. I knew if I took one smoke of a marijuana joint that I would be a pothead. I knew if I tried heroin, I'd die a heroin addict. I seen all my friends do it. They had the same personality I did. So I drew a line one day. I said, now I'm not going to cross that line because if I do, it'll kill me. I'll die if I do that. I know I'll die. Y'all ever do that? Come on. Y'all ain't drawn no lines in your life? Amen. And then there were some I would say, if I do that, my mama will kill me. But he was faithful. I don't read in there where anybody else was. There was millions of Jews there. They've been taken captive. They lived there. As you saw in previous chapters, some of them had worked their way up into positions of authority and power, just like him. Where were they at, pray? I don't know. Maybe they were, but it doesn't say so. But these men knew that Daniel drew some lines and he would not cross them. Wasn't any use in trying to get him to. So we're going to have to get him in trouble by making a law that he can't do what he said he's going to do and not cross that line. So they tricked him. I'm going to tell you something. If you live for the Lord, there's been many times on job situations where I've had to draw a line and say, I'm not doing that. We'll fire you. I said, go ahead. Go ahead. I remember I had a supervisor one time. I worked in shipping and receiving, and we would pull stuff off the truck, and if any of it was damaged, we were supposed to write it up as received damage, and then the company would have to pay for it because it got damaged unloading it. And so that's the way I wrote it up. So my supervisor, who said he was a Christian, who was a good man, by the way, and said he was a Christian, he brought me the paperwork. He said, Ron, this is not receiving damage. He said, this is shipping damage. They did this on the other end. I said, no, sir, I did that. When I was unloading that, I broke that. It happens. He said, no, we don't have receiving damage. We only have shipping damage from their end, so they have to pay for it. I said, that'd be a lie. He said, well, that's the way we do it. I said, that's not the way I'm going to do it. He said, you've got to do it. I said, I don't got to do it. He said, you'll get fired. I said, well, then I'll get fired. He said, give me the paper. I'll fill it out myself. So he lied for me. But I'm telling you, sometimes there's a line, you just got to draw it.
Yes.
When I worked at Duke Power, that man walked up to me and said, Ron, we'll be working this Sunday. I said, and I wasn't even a preacher. I said, no, I'm sorry, I won't be working Sunday. I said, I'll work 5 days a week, 6 days a week. I'll work 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, but I will not work on the Lord's day. He said, we'll write you up. I said, well, you'll have to write me up. I said, how many Sundays are we working? He said, we're working about the next 6 or 8 Sundays in a row. I said, I won't be here. If you want to see me, come down to Eastside Baptist Church, 6th pew on the right-hand side. I won't be here. He said, well, we'll have to write you up. I said, how many write-ups does it take to get fired? He said, 3. I said, go ahead and write all 3 of them because I'm not going to be here the next 3 Sundays. And he got mad and walked off. You just have to, what's your priority? What's your priority? You say, well, I got to make a living. I got to feed the kids, you know. Like milking the cow. Give, Betsy, give. The baby's got to live. I understand that. Let me tell you something. I understand that. You got to milk the cow. I understand that. But I just made up my mind. I had found something in Jesus in church that I'd been looking for all my life. And I was not going to give it up for Duke Power. Now, y'all do what you want to. That's my line. You draw your line. Amen? You draw your line. I'm drawing mine. Now, if you don't, what's going to happen is people are going to manipulate you. Daniel chapter 6, and I'm through. Daniel chapter 6. I said he was a man of great wisdom, great faith, great humility, great persistence. And he was a man of great faithfulness. Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. He was sorry he put the man in there. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. That's his testimony to the man that put him in the pit. Is thy God whom thou servest continually? There's his testimony again, continually. Able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Look at this. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God.
Yes.
Then read the rest of it. He killed the people that falsely accused him. Well, they accused him rightly, but he killed the ones that tricked him into putting Daniel in there, and their children, their wives, and everything else. Guess who got put in the pit? Now, skip down, if you will, to verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth. Remember, he ruled the whole world. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Now, I believe Daniel was great in his thankfulness, don't you? I believe he come out of that pit a happy man. He didn't know. He didn't know what was going to happen when he got thrown in that pit. But he made up his mind. He was going to be faithful. Life or death, he was going to be faithful. And what did he do? He ended up convincing this heathen king that his God was the real God. And what did he do? The king believed it so much that he made a law that everybody ought to honor the God of Daniel. I don't think Daniel in his humility said very much, Jeffrey. But I think when he got out, he walked out of the king's chamber and he closed that door behind him. He went,
yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Hot dog. Amen. Pray. Don't quit praying. You're going to pray. Pray, pray, pray without ceasing. Pray. Let's stand. Father.